Well, I've really enjoyed this series that we've been in the last couple of weeks. We've been talking about, you know, what to do when you face a season of uncertainty, when life storms seem to be just about to blow you apart. Everything in life is shaking and rattling and threatening to tear you to bits. How can you live unshakable in a shaky world? What tools does God give to us in these moments to help us stand when the storm wants to blow you over? So last week we talked about hope, right? And we looked at Romans chapter 8. Nothing can separate us from the love of God unless we let it. 2 weeks ago, we talked about prayer. And we looked at Philippians chapter 4. We need to pray until the peace of God comes to guard our hearts and our minds. And I hope, you know, if you didn't hear those messages, you'll go back, go to our website, and you can listen to them. But I hope those two tools have been a benefit to you and to your life these last couple of weeks. Today, I wanted to talk about what I think is another important tool, and that's thanks, right? Because this week is Thanksgiving, right? I believe that when the storms are shaking your life, Thanksgiving is another tool that God gives to us to help us live our lives unshaken. But God led me somewhere else. And so I want to talk to you today about another important tool, and that's the tool of praise. Now, if you remember from a couple of weeks ago, when we started in on Philippians 4, we talked about the fact that Philippians was written while Paul was imprisoned in Rome. And he had gotten to Rome because he had been falsely accused of causing trouble. And since he was a Roman citizen, he appealed his case to Rome. And one of Paul's dreams had always been to go to Rome and to preach the gospel. He felt that if he could reach people for Christ in Rome, if he could preach the gospel there, that there was so much commerce, so much influence coming out of Rome, that he believed that he could actually influence a bigger portion of the known world in that day, if he could just get to Rome. And I'm not sure that he had dreamed about going as a prisoner, but that's how he ended up in Rome. While he's writing this letter to the Philippians, he's under 24-hour-a-day house arrest, chained nonstop to a Roman guard awaiting trial. Month after month goes by, and he has no idea what's going to happen to him. He knows that he could be executed, which, by the way, is exactly what happens. If there's anyone ripe for anxiety, to me, it's the Apostle Paul, awaiting judgment upon him as he's wrongfully accused, chained to a guard, imprisoned in Rome, right? And as we said a couple of weeks ago, if anybody's world's shaken, it's Paul's. But out of that context, he wrote Philippians 4:6. Rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say it again, rejoice. Out of a place where he could have been overwhelmed and overcome with anxiety, with angst, with tension, with worry, he says, rejoice in the Lord. And I'll say it again in case you missed it the first time, rejoice. That stuff is, right, that's coffee mug material, right? Or that's a refrigerator magnet. Or that's something you buy from like Kirkland's to hang on your wall. I mean, this is an unbelievably spiritual verse to quote to your friends. But I have to admit something to you. I sort of hate it when people quote that to me when I'm in the midst of some difficult situations. I mean, don't you? I mean, right, you get a flat on the side of the road, it's 20 degrees out, and you're frustrated because you can't get the lug nuts off, and, you know, your wife says to you, rejoice in the Lord always, honey. And you just want to go, I'll make you rejoice if you say that to me again. I hope you're not violent like that. But anyway, you get the idea, right? We don't like to hear it sometimes. We want to say, come on, Paul, rejoice always, like under all circumstances. Really? Really? Rejoice when you find out your spouse has been lying to you. Rejoice when you lose your job and you don't know how you're going to make the rent. Rejoice, Paul? Really? Rejoice when your best friend betrays you or your boyfriend cheats on you. Rejoice when you find out that your child's been making horrible decisions and hanging out with the wrong kind of people. Rejoice when you can't sleep at night and the anxiety is so real, so deep, that even when you get up in the morning, you don't even want to leave the house. Rejoice then. Paul, really, rejoice when COVID-19 is rampant and the hospital's out of beds and the nurses and the doctors are exhausted. And we don't even want to go to the store because we don't want to be infected by anybody. When we can't even meet for worship, Paul, really? Rejoice in the Lord always? And again, you say, rejoice? How can Paul say that? How can you give praise and celebrate when this overwhelmingly bad stuff is happening to you? Well, it all depends on your perspective. Perspective, very simply, means how you see something. In other words, two different people can look at the same thing, and they can see it from two different perspectives, two different views, two different outlooks. For example, have you ever seen this picture? I think I first saw it in Stephen Covey's book. What do you see? Either you see a young woman with a big hat and her face turned away, or you see an old woman with a really big nose. I mean, a really big nose. It all depends on your perspective. And it's the same way when we go through storms. When we're experiencing uncertainty in our lives, your perspective can determine whether you are able to stand unshakable or you fall to pieces in the midst of the storm. How do you see your storm? How do you view your uncertainty? The word perceive, from which we get the word perspective, in the Latin, actually means to look through. So what are you looking through when you view your uncertainty, when you see your storm? What is it you're looking through? Are you looking through the lens of fear and anxiety? Or are you looking through the lens of praise? All about perspective. Now, the Apostle Paul, he could have looked at his situation right through the lens of anxiety and fear and thought, well, this is really bad, you know. I mean, matter of fact, it's terrifying. You know, here I am in Rome and my ministry is over and my dreams. I mean, I wanted to come here and preach and here I am. You know, I'm in prison. My dreams are crushed. Coming to Rome was a bad idea, I'm thinking. In fact, what I want to read from Philippians chapter 1, and I want to read to you from two different versions of the Bible. You know, we have all these different versions of the Bible. And so this is one. I want to read the first translation of this from Philippians 1 is from the Fear and Anxiety Perspective Bible. Okay, that's the Fear and Anxiety Perspective Bible. So I don't know if you know that version, but this is Philippians 1, 12 through 14. Okay, here's what it says. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me really stinks. God let me down. I am overwhelmed with anxiety, depression, and hopelessness. And because of the Hades I've been through, I'm quitting my community group and I am never going back to church again. Anybody ever relate to the Fear and Anxiety Perspective Bible, right? We look at our situation. This is bad. I got anxiety. It's getting worse. I can't function. I don't know what to do. I don't know how many times people just quit coming to church because they're frustrated. They have anxiety and they don't know what to do. So rather than come for help, they just abandon God altogether. It's all about perspective, right? Here's another version that sees Paul's storm, Paul's uncertainty from a perspective of praise. He says, and you may recognize this as the NIV. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. And as a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. In other words, through a perspective of praise, you might look at this and think, you know what? I know this is bad and I realize it's not good and I'm not happy about being in prison, but I know my God will never leave me. I know my God will never forsake me. Paul wrote other places. I know that no weapon formed against me will prosper. No, in this moment, my God is working together for all things for good. That's what he said in Romans 8. Therefore, I've got a perspective of praise. I see that what has actually happened has served to advance the gospel. In fact, for a long time, they thought I was their prisoner. And they had no idea that they were my prisoner. I mean, he had a guard, right? Locked up, chained to him, you know, 24 hours a day, probably in 3 8-hour shifts. And so he got to preach the gospel every day to those guys. They had no idea that actually they were the real prisoner. It's all about perspective. And you can look at this very same situation and say, this is bad and this is horrible and I can't stand this. Or you can have a perspective of praise and rejoice in the Lord always. God, now that I look at this through a perspective of praise, I can see that you're here, that you're working for good. What's happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. It's even brought confidence and boldness and daring to others. God, I know you've got this. I give you praise. See, what's so powerful is that this isn't the first time that Paul had actually been in prison. In fact, he was in prison in Philippi, the people that he's writing the letter of Philippians to. The story about how he ended up in jail in Philippi is in Acts 16. Paul and Silas, they were going to a place of prayer. And they came across this woman who was possessed of an evil spirit. And the evil spirit is kind of taunting at Paul and Silas. And finally, they turn around and they cast the evil spirit out of this woman. And there were some men who were using her and this evil spirit to make money, fortune telling. So when, Paul and Silas cast out the evil spirit, these guys who all of a sudden saw their income go from way up here to way down here, they grabbed Paul and Silas. And the Bible says that they dragged them before the magistrates and made false accusations against them. It even says in verse 22 that as they're there before the magistrates, the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. And the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. Now listen. I'm hoping that none of you will be stripped of your clothes this week and be beaten with rods, okay? But there are some of you who might be stripped this week of your confidence. You might be stripped this week of your hope. You might be stripped of your faith right now. You just can't find it. You're beaten down with anxiety. You're beaten down with your doubts. You're doing everything you can to hold on to your faith, but the anxiety feels so real that you just can't press through it. It's flogging you. The Apostle Paul and Silas were doing everything right. They didn't do anything wrong, but they were beaten and thrown into prison. I want you just for a moment to kind of visualize this, okay? They're in prison. They've been beaten. There's probably dried blood on their backs and, running off their shoulders. And their feet are fastened in stocks and they're laying on a cold, hard prison floor. So you know what they decided to do? Complain, right? Right? And it'd be like, what I would do, right? It's complain like, oh my goodness, can you believe this? Nope, it's not what they did. They're saying, things are bad, this isn't fair, but you know what? We might as well have a worship night right here in the jail, And that's what they did. It'd be kind of the equivalent of you finding out that someone you love has cancer, and so you say, hey, let's just get together and worship God. That's what we ought to do. Or, hey, I just discovered my kids on drugs. Let's break out the Gaither videos and have a high old time tonight singing gospel songs. Let's just worship God. How did they do that? How could they, when they've been beaten, falsely charged, how could they worship God? Maybe Paul leaned over to Silas and said, well, there's a lot of bad going on in this situation, but you know what? We're not dead. And if we're not dead, we aren't done. We can look at it from a different perspective, We got to praise him for more, we've got more to praise him about than from what we do to complain about. I don't know who this is for right now, but there's somebody listening. You do have an issue. It's big, and I'm not minimizing it in the least, okay? Maybe you got two issues, or maybe life is really complicated, and you got three really big issues that are weighing on you right now. Those are real, okay? But don't forget to look at the whole picture. Do you still have friends? Maybe you do. Do you still have your health, or at least some part of you that's healthy? Maybe you do. Do you still have a roof over your head? Do you still believe that God loves you? Do you still have a glimmer of faith? Because just a mustard seed of faith can cause you to move mountains if that's the kind of faith that you have. Do you have a church full of people that love you and care for you? If you've got a lot of bad in your life, at least you can say, man, I'm not dead. And if I'm not dead, God's not done with me yet. Don't just look at what's wrong. Don't forget to look at what's right. Don't forget, especially the week of Thanksgiving, that the things you might want to complain about, but there are probably far more things that you want to thank him for, that you want to give him praise for. Because I think most of us would find that we have more reason to praise him than we do to complain to him. Amen? Here's what they did, all right? Verse 25. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and all the other prisoners were listening to them. Now, I need to say something. I think the guards made a really big mistake. I mean, they should have separated Paul and Silas, right? Because, you know, the enemy, he wants to isolate us, right? The devil's like a sniper. Like, he wants to pick us off when we're alone. And that's why in these days when we're unable to meet together, you need to be calling and emailing and texting each other. Like I said, we've got so many different ways to connect. Because you know what? You can still pray together even when we're not in church. Matter of fact, if the only time you pray with others is when you're at church and in a service, you're already in trouble. You know that? We need to be praying together and connecting and encouraging one another. And we need to be connecting with others more than just that 1 hour on Sunday that we spend together. And so, we ought to live into that. But I want you to notice that they were praying and they were singing hymns when they were bound up in prison. I mean, the jail door is locked. Their feet are in stocks. They're in the inner part of the jail, as a matter of fact. In other words, and that's when they started praising him. In other words, they praised him before God had done anything to deliver them from prison. There was no miraculous provision, no miracle yet. They weren't praising God at this moment for the what. They were praising him for the who. They weren't praising him for the provision because God hadn't done anything yet. This praise was for the character and the nature and the goodness of God, for what they knew of who God was. It wasn't praise for what God had done. It was just praise for who he is. And we are so guilty of only praising God after he does something rather than for who he is before he does something. Let me tell you, it's praise that precedes the miracle that keeps you steady in the storm, in the uncertain times. That is so important. Let me say it again. It is praise that precedes the miracle that keeps you steady in the storm, in the uncertain times. That's what makes you unshakable. That's that tool that God gives you so that when everything's about to blow apart and you just don't even know if you can take one more step, or you're fearful, or you're anxious about the future, you can just lift up your hands in praise and go, "Man, God, I praise you for who you are." So here are Paul and Silas. It's midnight. They're praying. You know, they're praying. They're singing hymns to God, and everybody in prison hears it. Right? That's what he said. And then suddenly, boom! God shows up. Right? During their praise, verse 26. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and at once all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. God comes and delivers them. He rescues them. The prison doors fly open. The chains come loose and fall away. And what did Paul do? Nothing. Like, well, didn't Paul leave the prison? No. I mean, that's what I would do, right? If I was chained up in jail, beaten within an inch of my life, and the jail doors came open, you know, I'd been falsely accused, I am out of there, baby. I am not sticking around. I'm running for my life. But not Paul and Silas. What's this in verse 27? The jailer woke up. He slept in the jail. And when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for the lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sir," "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" What made Paul stay? His purpose wasn't complete. See, God was using what he was going through to be a witness. He used Paul's response to be a witness to this jailer and to his family, and in fact, to everybody who was in that prison that night. And the jailer and his family gave their lives to Jesus. Do you see how important the tool of praise is when you're going through a storm? When your future is uncertain, do you see how praise can not only help you remain unshakable when it feels as if your life is about to fall apart, but do you see the impact it can have on others? People will either hear you complain in your storm and be affected, or people will hear you praise in the midst of your storm and be affected. Either way, you're an influence. But get this, you're either an influence for the enemy or you're an influence for God. As I close, I want to go back to Philippians 4 for just a minute. Because just like Acts, Paul, right, is in prison, we said, in Rome. He's in chains. Matter of fact, he's been in prison for 2 years or more. And here's what I know. I'm pretty sure Paul prayed and sang hymns of praise while he was in prison in Rome, just like he did in the Philippian jail. And here he's, because he says here, rejoice in the Lord always. But here's the thing. This time, the chains aren't falling off. This time, freedom isn't coming. Knowing what God had done for Paul while he was in jail at Philippi, but what God did not do when Paul was in prison in Rome brings way more power to the truth when he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Paul knew God could deliver him from the prison in Rome, but God didn't. And yet Paul still offered him praise. He still rejoiced in the Lord always. And I will say it again in case you didn't hear me. Rejoice. Rejoice when he delivers you and rejoice when he doesn't. Because this is not praise for the what. This is praise for the who. This is a deeper level of praise. I praise you for who you are. I choose to look at everything that's happening around me through a lens of praise. I mean, that's why he could tell the Philippians that what's happened has actually served to advance the gospel. That's what I'm going through right now is actually helping somebody else. And I don't know who this is for. And it's certainly not for everybody, because I'm not going to tell you that if you just praise God, that the anxiety is going to go away. It might, but it might not. But I will tell you this, that when you choose to look at life through the perspective of praise, you will find a solid place to stand. There's a great hymn we used to sing. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When darkness seems to hide his face, I'll rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, and he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. I know that we're all facing stressful moments right now. I know some of us are struggling with health issues, with a job, with money situations. We have family struggles that are going on. We have marriage issues that are happening. We've got COVID isolation. We've got marriage problems and relationship issues, not only within our family, with our kids or maybe our parents, but, you know, we've got them with relatives. My goodness, the holiday season's upon us. We're going to be faced with some of those. And maybe you feel like the storm is about to blow you apart. Maybe you haven't been to church in 8 months because, you know, you've been quarantining because of your health. And you just feel down. You feel isolated in a way. Maybe you feel like the clouds of uncertainty with whatever you're going through in your life are about to overwhelm you. But I believe today that we can pray until the peace of God guards our hearts. And I believe today that we can cling to hope, knowing that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And I believe today we can choose to praise God And rather than see what's happening around us from the perspective of fear and anxiety, we, God's people, we can see it through the perspective of praise. We can rejoice in the Lord no matter what's happening. We can praise Him for who He is. You know, we can let Him use us and what we're going through to make an impact on the lives of others. But we need to wholly lean on Jesus' name. We need to rest in His unchanging grace. We need to make Him our all, my hope and stay. We need to make Him the solid rock on which we stand. All other ground is going to be sinking sand to us. We stand on Jesus. Are you willing to change your perspective today? To see your life through the perspective of praise? Can we pray together today? Father, we are so thankful for your word that speaks right to where we are today. And Lord, there is so much anxiety and angst and worry and concern in our world. There are some, Father, even right now who are listening, who are going through some tremendous struggles. For some, it's a health issue. For some, it's a relationship issue. For others, it's finances and a job. Maybe it's the kids or the parents. God, maybe it's just our own feeling of hopelessness. That as the enemy presses in around us, that we've become more anxious and we've become more fearful today. And yet we see Paul. We see Paul and how he dealt with these intense moments in his life when anxiety was pressing in on him, when it would have been so easy to look at life through the lens of fear and anxiety. But instead, he chose to look at things through the prism of praise, from the perspective of praise. Not for what you've done, although God, we are grateful and thankful for what you've done. And many of us right now can even remember and think back on times when we've been desperate before and you come through for us. Many of us look and we say, thank you for saving our souls, Lord, for our salvation. But God, to in this moment, in this time, to be able to praise you for who you are, that you're a good God who loves us and cares for us, who's right here beside us. You've not abandoned us or left us. And although we may be isolated from others, we have never been isolated from you. And to have your presence, to know your presence, I pray every person, God, who right now, Father, who's praying this prayer with me, would feel your presence near them today. I mean a tangible feeling in their hearts and in their lives today that you are there in that living room, in that kitchen, in that bedroom, in that office at home, wherever it is that they're listening and engaged in worship today, that God, they would know that you are there and you've got them. We have far more today to thank you for than we have to complain about. Would you just tell God the things you're thankful for today? Just tell God the things that you give Him praise for doing for you. And God, today we're still breathing. We're still going. So that must mean you're not done with me yet. So I pray for every person who's still alive, every person who's actively watching this today, that Father, you would reveal to them you're not done with them yet. There is more to do. So now is not the time to give up, and now is not the time to give in. But that if we will put our hope and our trust in you today, oh God, we're going to get through this stuff. Vaccines are on the, you know, are in the making and on the way, and soon we're going to look back on this. And Father, what we want to remember is not how lonely and isolated we felt, not how overcome with fear and doubt we were, but how much our faith grew, how much you were with us in the midst of the storm, how much you were standing there beside us when it just seemed like our world was shaking apart, yet you made us unshakable in the midst of the storm. We believe that, and we trust in that. Lord, today I pray for that one who doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, but maybe this week they've been feeling it. And so even today, as they've listened to the message, there is something inside of them that draws them to you. They've never asked you for forgiveness for their sins, but right now, Father, they want to be your child. They want you to be their father. And so, Lord, I just pray right now, would you just help each one? If that's you today, just pray and tell God that you want to be his follower, that you want what Jesus did on the cross to count for you. You want to be forgiven, and you want to become his child and follow him. That today you want that assurance and that peace today, that you are not alone, but that that God is right there beside you. Just surrender to him. Turn away from living the way you've wanted to live and begin to follow him. Oh God, today I thank you for every person that prayed that prayer and asked you to forgive them for their sins and to become a part of your kingdom, a child of God. Lord, I pray you would help us as a church in these days. Will you, Father, we are right now, every person listening to this, will you put somebody's name on their heart right now for them to contact, to call, to write an email, to, you know, Father, send a text message to encourage somebody else, to connect with somebody else. Maybe they're not a part of our church. Maybe they're part of another church, or maybe it's family for them somewhere. And God, I just pray, would you help us to not just give in and to give out and to remain isolated from one another, but for us to be the church. And even though we're not able to gather in the building, we're able to gather online, and we can be the church in our community, wherever we live, and share the love of Christ with others, encourage and lift up each other, lift each other up to you, Father, in prayer. God, we love you today. I know you've got us, Lord, and I know you've got everybody listening to this morning. Bless your children. Watch over them and keep them and bless them, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, hey, listen, next Sunday is Advent. And, oh, before I do that, let me say this. Listen, if you gave your heart and life to Christ, would you just send me a text message or you know, send me a message on whatever, you know, however you're watching this, whether that's on Facebook or Vimeo or YouTube, just message me. Or, you know, you can go to our Facebook page and message me. Email me, let me know, because I want to encourage you. I want to pray for you, and I want to be praying for you in these days. And, wow, what an awesome commitment you've made. Let me tell you something. I've lived for Jesus for a very long time, and I know this. He's never let me down, and he won't let you down either through this. Now, all right, Advent's coming up. And so we're starting a new series next week called Carols. And I didn't come up with this on my own, but I'm excited about it because I talked to Luann, and so we're going to get some people together, and we're going to be, each Sunday, we're going to have a Christmas hymn that we're going to focus on. And we're gonna have some folks to sing that for us, and you'll get to see that online, and we'll get to celebrate the true meaning of Christmas and what it means for our hearts and for our lives. And so, and we're also gonna have a devotional every day during the season of Advent, from starting next Sunday all the way to Christmas, and we'll all be able to participate in that. I got a couple of ideas about that, you know, that we'll use, and so we can share together online. And so I'm excited about that. And so listen, I know that it's hard being apart, but let me tell you something. We are the Church of Jesus Christ, and as important as it is to be together, far more important is how we live our lives this week. So like I said earlier, call somebody, write a note, you know, think of somebody you can encourage this week within our church body, our church family, and then go out and live your life, and let's not let the world hear us complain, because that will influence people for the enemy. Instead, let's have the world hear us praise our God, even in the dark times, the tough times, the difficult times, because that will influence people as well for the kingdom. God bless you. Share this today on social media or somewhere else if you think somebody would be interested in listening to it. And I want you to know, I'm praying for you. If you need anything, please call the church office. We're still open during this period. And so let us know what we can do. And God bless you.